Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, and it's great to see you. And this is the day that we gather together to worship the Lord in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it can't get any better than that. Amen on that?
Amen.
I'm going to be reading a scripture passage that we're all familiar with. It's really where Jesus goes out and feeds the 5,000. It truly is a miracle. And by the way, this scripture passage is in all four Gospels. So it was something that had significance for people that were discovering their life in Jesus Christ. So let us listen to the word of God as we turn into the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and he saw the large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months of wages would not even buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place where they sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. They filled 12 baskets. When the people saw this sign that had been done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." My friends, may God today add to each of his richest blessings. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Spirit of the living God, melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Amen. There's a powerful story that I think demonstrates a very interesting point. It is a story about an individual whose name was Albrecht Dürer, and it had a significant point to make to us. Albrecht Dürer came from a family of 18 children. He also had a brother, Albert, and that family could barely get by just to be able to feed all those people. And I wonder, how did that mother handle that? But Albrecht Dürer and his brother, Albert, Albrecht Dürer and his brother Albert, they wanted to go to art school. They went to go there in Nuremberg, Germany, where they grew up. And needless to say, their parents would never have the money to do this. So Albrecht and Albert sat down, and Albert said, "Albrecht, you go to art school. I'll work in the mines. And when I'm through working, and you're through art school, then you come and you send me to art school." They had this agreement. That was the love that they had for each other, and that's how they worked things out. Albrecht went on to art school, and he did amazingly well. Matter of fact, he graduated the top of his class, and he knew more than even the artists knew. So when he graduated, all these people came, and they wanted to have him do artwork. Well, his brother Albert came out of the mines, and his work, he could no longer even pick up a paintbrush. He couldn't write anything, and arthritis had filled his hands. So out of dedication, Albrecht made a decision that he was going to support his brother the rest of his life. He was going to give his brother a beautiful, comfortable lifestyle. But he did a very famous painting, and if you ever see it, it's about the two hands praying to God. And sometime you look at that painting, look at his hands, and look at his, on the inside of his, or on the outside of his hands, and you will see the effects of what arthritis had done to him. So the next time you see this, take a second look at it. And remember what he did as a dedication to his brother. Now today, let's take Simon Peter. As you know, Simon Peter ended up being one of the head disciples. And Simon Peter, remember he stood on the rock and he said, on this rock I will build my church. And then of course, about 7 or 8 weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost. And Simon Peter went in on that Sunday, and it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And he was so powerful that 3,000 people, and they were Jewish people, were converted to Christianity. And thus began the excitement of what had taken place at the church. But you know, none of that would have ever happened if it wasn't for his brother, Andrew. Now, Andrew, my friends, was a person that we know very little about. He only appears in the scripture lessons, I think, mentioned 4 times. But Andrew one day was out and he saw Jesus. And as he said in the scripture, he saw the Anointed One, which meant that he saw the Messiah. He saw Jesus Christ. And Andrew could not keep that to himself. And Andrew went to his brother, Simon Peter. He said, Simon Peter, you have to come and see what I saw take place today. So he took him. And Simon Peter that day also met Jesus Christ. And he met the Anointed One. And he met the Messiah. And that all took place because of the simple little act that Andrew had done. Now really, we know very little about Andrew. We don't even know if he ever preached. We don't even know that if he ever did any mighty deeds. But we know this, that Andrew was a very humble person, and he wanted others to know about Jesus Christ. Andrew didn't want any attention. He didn't care that Simon Peter, his brother, was the big honcho. He accepted him for what he was, and he loved him, because Simon Peter had a mission. And because of Simon Peter, that's why many of us know about Jesus Christ. And that's why the church began to spread and to take place because of Simon Peter. Now, this was the greatness of Andrew. Just a simple person, not any better than any of us, but yet Andrew made a difference in the world. And just look what had happened. So this morning, I'm going to show you for a few moments what I mean by the simple thing that Andrew did. And my friends, the simple things that each of us can go and do. First of all, as I said earlier, Andrew brought his brother. There was a traffic officer in New York City, and he had a major responsibility. He had a position, he was right in front of the school, and he had to make sure that all those children could cross the street and that they could make it there and be safe and sound. So, and not only was it a job for this fellow, police officer, it was a calling. It was something that was very dear in his heart. One day, there was a little 5-year-old child that came out. And the child looked across the traffic, and there was her mother. And that little child decided to run out. That police officer went and grabbed the child, fell on the road, hurt himself. But he got up, and that child was okay. Later on, someone asked him about his heroic thing that he did. And the police officer said this. He said, under my watch, no one will ever die, because my job is here is to protect those children and to make sure that they're safe and to make sure that they're sound. I suppose that at that moment that somewhere up in heaven, God was smiling and looking down upon them and realized, these are my beloved children, and the love that Jesus had for him, and the love that police officer had for that people. Andrew found Christ, and immediately he ran to get his brother. This is a beautiful mountain peak moment in the Bible. He brought his brother into the presence of Christ. Andrew's simple, thoughtful acts of sharing with his brother is a poignant reminder that in the world, that none of us are alone, In the world, we each need each other. And in the world, God is calling upon each of us to be able to go and to make a difference. One of the people that I've always thought about in life, and I have to tell you, I was never much of a sports fan. But if you knew Kent Kleiss, I probably learned more about, and Sandy Trombley will tell you this, we learned more about basketball than I ever thought. But one time, they were interviewing Shaq. And you know, I see Shaq on television, and he is doing really well, and he gets his point across. But when they were interviewing Shaq, he said, I don't no longer want to be called Shaq. I want to be called the Big Aristotle. And it really threw the commentator on television. He said, why do you want to be known as the Big Aristotle? Because Aristotle taught a simple thing, that greatness is not in one event. Greatness is doing it over and over and over and trying to make it better. He said, that is what greatness is. And the television commentator thought about it, and he said, you know, that's true. It's working over and over. One time, Judy, my wife, is here. She's sitting next to Sandy Trombley. So if you have any complaints, just don't let her know about it. But one time, we went to the Prickly Pear restaurant in Ann Arbor, and they had people, great Mexican food. And it was sad, they closed after COVID. But one time we were there, and we were waiting outside to go inside the restaurant. And there was Mike Krzyzewski, the coach at Duke University, going into another restaurant. At that moment, I just wanted to go over and I'd love to know who he was talking to. And maybe he was going to try to steal somebody from Michigan to come and play basketball. But Mike Krzyzewski tells a great story about leadership. And I think it's so true for the church. And Krzyzewski says this, I don't want anybody who wants to come here to be a star. We are a family. We work together as a team. We do everything together as a team. And then he tells a story that one day there were two freshman players that were playing for Duke University. And the two players slept in and did not come on the game that day. When they got back and the players were tired, Krzyzewski says, I want you to go get those two players and we're going to have a family meeting. He looked at that whole group of people and he said, now I'm going to tell you something. We are a family. If you don't want to be a part of the family, you can leave right now and you can leave Duke University right now. Why didn't you people go and make sure that those two players were here, that they were dressed and they were ready to play? I expect each of us to be responsible for one another. And that's how we're going to be as a team. And if you want to play for Duke, this is how it's going to be. Well, of course, we know that Krzyzewski won five national championships. He had 12 other times he got the people to the Final Four. And he was one of the most winning coaches in the world. But I think that idea that we are a family, we're here to be supportive of one another. And remember something about Andrew. Andrew was just a humble, simple person. But Andrew had his role in life, and he made the difference. And that's something that today that Andrew would want me to try to say to all of us. We're a family. You have a beautiful church, a lot of great people, and you know what? Even welcome Jim Russell. And that's a miracle in itself. So Andrew brought Simon Peter that day, and look what he did in that simple act. He didn't keep it to himself. He wanted others to know about it. The second thing is, in our scripture passage today, is Andrew brought a child. One day, Jesus was on the mountain teaching a huge crowd, and he was performing miracles, and he was healing people. And then Jesus and the disciples took off, and they went up the hilltop. And there must have been a big area, because it said it was grass. And all those people followed, and there were 5,000 people there. And of course, Jesus looked at he looked at Philip for a moment. He said, Philip, how are we going to do this? Philip looked at him. He said, look, 6 months' wages, I could just feed a few people. Here there are all these people. But there was Andrew. He went and he saw that little boy that had 5 loaves of bread and had 2 fish. And he brought them up to Jesus. And Jesus took this simple thing and he performed that miracle. And 5,000 people at least were fed. But you know what I think is the most beautiful part of the story? There was plenty left over. Just like God has a lot left over for us. And God takes us and loves us, takes us back and renews us, and he reminds us that we are a part of what God is doing. I was thinking about the knaves this morning because Leslie's on her way flying home from Scotland. But when I first entered the ministry, people, I'm even amazed I survived in 50 years. And you know what? With all my mistakes, the church still put up with me. And sometimes you have to ask Judy if she's still putting up with me. But anyway, Andrew that day had brought that little child and changed the world. And Andrew also went out and he brought people to God. Andrew brought others to God. And he had a nice, simple way that he was able to talk about it because he was alive with Jesus Christ. In 2 weeks, you're going to be having a special dinner here to welcome the new minister. And people, it's going to be an exciting time. And I was talking with Brian Smith, and I'm going to tell you something. Brian said to me, you people were wonderful to him. You treated him with dignity and respect and love, and he thinks the world of you. But Brian was also telling me that he sat down with the new minister and his wife, and Brian and his wife, they went out for dinner. And Brian said, he's going to be good for here. He's new, he's fresh, he's young, he's not an old goat like me. And, and he is going to come here. And people, the biggest thing in the world that you can do is, number one, is pray for your minister, not only today, 5 years from now. Also pray for your session and your officers. Pray for your pulpit nominating committee. And pray together. And if you all pray and are sincere about it, and you do it all the time, you will be amazed at what will happen in the church. And just allow the power of the Holy Spirit to take place. And it would be great. In 2012, I went to my 50th class reunion. So you can tell I'm really an old goat. And we were there, and I had a fellow, Paul McCormick, who came up to me. And Paul said to me, oh, Jim, you were a minister, oh, isn't that great, and all this stuff. And he said, you know, Jim, I haven't been in church in years. He said, really, I could care less about church. And he told me, he said, when he was, I think, in sixth or seventh grade, his parents went to church, and they had a minister that really liked, but the congregation was awful to him. And he said, our parents left, and we never went back to church. He said, even when I got married, we had a justice of the peace to our wedding, because we were really hurt by that event. But then he also told me, or I heard from a very good friend of mine, that in 2014, when they lived in Michigan City, Indiana, his wife said, let's go to church. And he said, when they walked into church, that church reached out and embraced them, made them feel welcome. And a couple years later, Paul came down with cancer, and that church was there for he and his wife, and they ministered to them, they showed them love, and they were there until Paul passed away in 2019. That's how Andrew did things. Just a very humble, simple person. Reaching out, showing the love of Jesus Christ, showing the genuine sense of caring and of being there for one another. And when that type of thing is taking place, people, today in this world that we're living in, we allow the Holy Spirit to work, and we show that genuine sense of care, you will be amazed at what God will do with this place and what God will do in our own lives. So today, as you think about it, just remember Andrew, a very simple person. We don't know a whole lot about him, but he made a difference. And he was not afraid to go and share and talk about what it is that he believed. And one other thing I'll tell you, and this was a real surprise to me. Now, I'm talking about myself. In 2000, early part of June, my youngest daughter, Laura, went to celebrate their wedding anniversary in Costa Rica. And they asked us all to come if we could. And they wanted to renew their wedding vows. And Laura, when she got married at Miami of Ohio to her first husband, and a year later he came down with cancer. Just a wonderful person. And, you know, he made provisions that someday if they could ever have children, went through chemo again, and then he had to go through a bone marrow transplant, which he said was horrible. But then he went to Anderson Cancer Clinic, and they got him in remission, and he was in remission for 5 years. And Laura was able to have a child. And Judy and I will never forget that day we were there. A year and a half later, Stephen went into heaven. And a couple years later, and Laura's not one I would have expected to have found somebody, because she is an engineer and she can be rigid. And just talk about people who have been married to engineers, they'll tell you that. But she married a beautiful person, and they had a child, and little Hazel. And Hazel is full of life. And I pray to God she never loses that. But when we were down in Costa Rica, Hazel stayed with me for several days. This is where they went to renew their wedding vows and where they'd gone on their honeymoon. And I probably do this because I want to make sure the grandkids never forget me. But at Valentine's Day, at Easter, and at Thanksgiving, I always send the kids a card, my 5 grandchildren, with $20 or $25 in it. When we were getting ready to check out, Hazel was there, and she pulled out of her wallet $20, and she put it there. And I said to Hazel, "That's your money. Why are you doing that?" She said, "Papa, we had 2 women to come in to clean our room. They make our beds each day. They bring us fresh towels." And she said, "You know, they have very little. And I think we ought to make sure that they're taken care of." And here she took her little gift to try to make a difference. I wanted to cry at that moment. And I don't know who taught her that. But some way she learned to reach out and realize that there are people that are less fortunate. And that was Andrew, people. Not a big show, not a big splash, but he made a difference. Each of us can go and make a difference. And people, you're in my prayers and thoughts, and I'm excited for you, and I know it will go well. And thank you, people, and love you, and God be with you. Amen.